You're listening to the Doing English podcast, the no-nonsense English learning show for professionals and experts, helping you forget English isn't your first language. Now, over to Julian.
Hi, this is Julian from doingenglish.com, and welcome to episode 13 of the Doing English podcast. In the previous episode, in episode 12, we talked about a very bizarre, quite weird dream that I had, and quite a controversial topic related to that. That was last week's episode. If you haven't listened to that one already, I highly recommend that you go back and listen to episode 12 too. Like I said, it was quite a controversial topic. It is not, however, linked to this week's episode, so there's no problem in listening to this episode first, then going back later. What are we going to be talking about this week? Well, in this week's episode, I'm going to be talking about learning multiple languages and the idea that there might actually be a perfect sequence to learn languages in. But before that, let's take a look at this week's five-star review. This week's five-star review comes from Marco A. Espinosa from Mexico. And Marco said, "It's excellent. Excellent teacher. And the last episode of the podcast, which at the time was number 8, is about an important topic for my improvement of English and even for my life. I completely recommend this podcast." Thank you, Marco. Hearing that means the world to me. If you ever find yourself here in Japan, or if we happen to meet in some other part of the world, I owe you a beer, or of course, a similar beverage of your choice if you're not a beer drinker. And let me just comment on this review very slightly. Marco said that podcast number 8, which was all about the question, how good at English can you get? And where I talked about the importance of, you know, modeling exceptional people, looking at the best of the best and ignoring what the mundane, normal people who don't get very far do, is not just about English, not really. The idea behind that podcast, and of course all podcast episodes, and in fact everything that I do here in Doing English, is that English is not just something to learn, a language to learn and speak. Rather, English is something that can be used as a tool for improving all aspects of your life. I don't want people to think of English as just a fun language to learn. It is a fun language to learn, but that's not what I'm interested in doing. English can be much, much more than that. And what I hope that people will get from these podcast episodes and from the courses that I produce and from the Doing English Plus program is a completely new way of looking at their lives, the inspiration to change their lives for the better. That is, to take English and to use it to do something great. So I'm very glad that Marco picked up on that and mentioned in his review that it's useful for improving English, but also for everyday life. So, on that note, without further ado, let's get into this week's podcast episode. Now, originally, this topic came from a comment by one of the Doing English Plus members, from Jim, who is a Korean member living in Canada. And she posted in the Doing English Plus community asking about learning a third language. And a bit of discussion went on about that. And it was a very, very interesting topic. But it reminded me of something that I read several years ago now, a book that I read, an academic book that I read. And it was about the topic of language transfer. A language transfer is when one language, or your first language especially, affects the language that you are learning. So we've all had this experience learning languages. You tend to use your second language in a way that is slightly similar to your first language. And if there are words or grammar points that are the same in English as in your first language, it's very, very easy to learn those because you get what we call positive transfer. That is, you get a positive effect. You don't have to relearn it because you already know it. You just reapply what you already know to your second language. Whereas, if there is something which doesn't exist in your first language, that can be very hard to learn. A very good example of that is the plural for Japanese people. And I'm not sure about other languages, possibly Korean as well. I heard from somebody it might be the same. I know that Japanese and Korean are quite similar. So Korean people can learn Japanese quite quickly because they get a lot of positive transfer. But for Japanese people, at least, there is no plural in Japanese. So if you have one pen, it's a pen. If you have two pens, it's still a pen. If you have 10 pens, it's still a pen. We simply don't count like that. We don't pluralize the words and the language when we are speaking Japanese. So Japanese people can find it quite difficult to learn the plural, the English plural, and especially to get their head around things like the idea of countable versus uncountable, which can seem extremely illogical and very confusing to Japanese people. To the point where I actually remember one time when I was working for an English conversation school, one student in a private lesson getting very, very angry at me because I corrected her and said it's not papers, but paper. And she got really angry and she said, "Look, you can count these pieces of paper. 1, 2, 3, 4. And she counted all the pieces of paper in the pile. But I had to explain to her that that is not plural. It's uncountable. It's what we consider a collective noun. And the word papers can have a totally different meaning. For people who already have the same system for counting in their first language, they get positive transfer. It is very, very easy to learn. For people like Japanese people, they get negative transfer. It is very difficult to learn. And also, if you have something in your first language that is doesn't exist or is used differently in your second language, for me, for example, the words this and that are very difficult because they are used in Japanese to mean the same things, but they are used in a different way. That is, things that we say this to in English would be that in Japanese and vice versa. For example, in English, we would point at the TV screen and say, "Wow, that looks really exciting. Let's go there." For example, about a place, whereas Japanese people would say, "This looks really exciting. Let's go there." That is negative transfer. This is important to know, of course, because if you are aware of the differences between your language and English, it'll be easier to notice that you are making those mistakes. But also, going back to the book that I read a long time ago, the academic book, looking at transfer, what you might not know is this. When you learn a second language, you get transfer from your first language to the second language. But when you learn a third language, generally, this is what the research from these people, I actually forget the name of the book and the author. I should look it up and I'll try and put a link in the notes, the podcast notes. But what these people found in their research is that when you learn a third language, people get transfer not so much from the first language like you'd expect, but actually from the second language. And then when they learn a fourth language, they get transfer from the third language to the fourth language, but not so much from the second language and not so much from the first language, and on and on. So the languages create a kind of transfer chain where the first language affects the second, the third, the fourth. So for example, if I started to learn French now, actually that's a bad example because at the time of recording this, I'm about to start learning Chinese, and I'll tell you why I'm about to start learning Chinese in another podcast episode. But I would get transfer from English to Japanese, and then from Japanese to Chinese, in theory. This is what these people showed in their research, which is actually kind of unfortunate because although Chinese is an Asian language, there are actually a lot of similarities between Chinese and English, especially in terms of the grammar and the way that words are ordered in a sentence. Whereas that's very different in Japanese. So I may, if these people were right in their research, have actually made my life more difficult by learning Japanese first. Which brings me to kind of the point that I want to make, that theoretically, at least, this is pure theory. This is me hypothesizing about something. Theoretically, there must be a perfect sequence within which to learn languages. That is, if you were intent on learning all the languages in the world, then theoretically you could take the language that was most similar to your first language, and then next learn the language that is most similar to that, and then on and on and on. So for me, with English, I guess, I haven't actually looked this up or planned this out. I'm making this up off the top of my head. So if I get this wrong, again, I'm not really going for accuracy here. For me, my first language is English. So I guess if I went and learned one of the Frisian languages, would probably be the easiest to learn, because the Frisian languages and dialects are supposed to be the closest living languages to English. And then from one of the Frisian languages, which are very similar to German or Dutch, I could then go on to learn German and then Dutch. And then from there, for example, Danish. And then so on and so on and so on until I've learned all the languages in the world. And that way, I would always get the most positive transfer between the two languages. Meaning, I would always kind of have a head start when I started to learn the language. Anyway, that is pure theory on my part. And also kind of pointless, because it's pretty unlikely that you would ever want to sit down and learn all the languages in the world. In fact, I'm not actually sure if it would be possible. Well, theoretically, it would be possible to learn all the languages in the world, but you would need an incredible amount of time, and it would be a kind of pointless exercise, simply because a lot of those languages you would never, ever, ever have a chance to use. But never mind. If you want to hear more stories, ideas, and theoretical hypotheses just like this one today, you can and should go ahead and join the Doing English Daily newsletter. The Doing English Daily newsletter is a free email that I send out every single day. And every day I share all kinds of stories and tips and anecdotes and experiences from my life, learning Japanese, teaching English, and things like that. You will also get the chance to join premium Doing English courses and programs after you've joined the Doing English Daily newsletter. The newsletter is free, and those courses and programs are not, be warned. But more than anything else, the Doing English Daily newsletter is a chance for you to keep in touch with English on a daily basis. That email would appear in your inbox every single day. Well, almost every single day. Sometimes I do miss it, but probably about 360 days out of the year. So it's always there, ready and waiting to keep you up to date and in touch with the English language. You can join that by going to doingenglish.com, and you will see a link to that on the front page of the Doing English website. Alternatively, if you're listening to this podcast in iTunes, you can go to the Doing English page in iTunes and just click on the website link, and you will be taken straight to the sign-up page for the Doing English Daily newsletter. So you can and should go ahead and join that if you haven't already. And if you haven't joined it, yes, you are missing out. So go over to doingenglish.com or click the website link in iTunes. Right, that then is it for this week's episode. What have we got coming up in next week's episode, episode number 14? Next week, I'm going to share with you a story about the world's greatest telephone salesman. It's coming up next week, something to look forward to. Have a great week, take care, and I will see you in episode number 14. Thank you, and goodbye.